Chapter 10. I stared at the bar owner and old woman in shock for a moment, until I quickly pulled my head back behind the stage to look at the girls. "Baxter and Betty," I mouthed silently, and both Becca and Haywan raised their eyebrows. I had figured out Baxter was an asshole on our first meeting, after the way he yelled at Fareed, leered at Becca, and then made off with our wine offering. Betty was unexpected, though, since she had seemed like such a nice old woman as she had led us to the Stinky Pete. It was such a shock that I wondered if they were even the ones behind the whole act.
"They're just kids,"
Betty said.
"I don't understand all this hoo-ha over a few students, Baxter."
"They're not kids," Baxter spat. "One full of himself yank and two bimbos just stroll into my pub like they own the place. Think I can tolerate that?"
"I brought them,"
Betty sighed.
"And they even brought wine, which you downed rather quickly, I might add."
"I might spare them if the blonde stays with me,"
the pub owner said with a loud burp.
"I'd like to feel that lush body next to me on the cold nights."
I glanced at Becca, who scrunched up her face and mimed being sick.
"They'll leave soon enough,"
Betty said hopefully.
"Maybe if we return their things, they'll stop poking around. The blonde one you fancy said she was on her way to find her mum, so they won't want to delay that for much longer."
"She won't need a mum if she's got me taking care of her," Baxter replied. "I could do a better job than that asshole Yank."
I rolled my eyes and tried to ignore the pain in my neck from being crouched over. Baxter was not only gross, but clearly responsible for stealing our shit, trying to scare us off, and God knows what else he had gotten up to before we arrived. But I needed to stay hidden a while longer to get an idea of what his plan was.
"We have so much,"
Betty pleaded, and I wondered why she had teamed up with Baxter in the first place.
"More than anyone else does. Let's just wait until they leave."
"Thing is, if we killed a fucking lot of them, we can have all their things. I like the sound of those motorbikes you said they have, especially the pretty Chinese girl's one."
I glanced at Haywan, who scowled as she muttered something in Korean.
"She was Korean,"
Betty corrected, and Baxter just laughed.
"Who gives a shit? Won't matter when she's dead. I didn't fancy her as much as the blonde, but they both had a right gobby mouth on them. Not sure I can be arsed with a slag who talks back so much."
I almost dove out of our hiding spot just to silence the rancid pub owner. But Haywan grabbed my wrist, and the two girls shook their heads urgently at me. I nodded in silent agreement, but they could tell my rage was building as Baxter spoke. I wondered if the local pair would move on soon, because we couldn't stay hunched behind the stage forever. It wasn't much of a struggle for Haywan's petite frame, but Becca and I were practically doubled over to stay hidden.
"We've already forced most of the town out of their homes, all because you needed to get your grubby paws on every last available provision. If it wasn't for Fareed and his cooking skills, there wouldn't be anyone else left."
"That bloody Indian. The sooner he fucks off, the better. Keeps welcoming everyone in like he's feeding the whole bloody city."
"Fareed is doing a wonderful job. He has worked for you until literally the apocalypse. You could give the man a bit of credit. He doesn't even have his family with him."
"Not my problem,"
Baxter said, and I could just picture his greasy shoulders in a shrug.
"Anyway, the Yanks got a tent. We don't have one of those, and they probably have more wine, too. That bottle was cheap, but I haven't had wine in weeks."
"Neither have I. Yet I did not get offered a drop."
"Tell you what, if you get enough surgery to look like that blonde with the tits, I'll give you all the wine your heart desires."
"I should have never signed up for your little scheme,"
the old woman said, as Baxter's laugh rumbled through the music hall.
"If I had known how good people would still be to each other during all this, I would never have helped you in your little tirade of bullying and crime."
I could feel my neck start to cramp up along with my legs, and I stretched my right leg out as silently as I could to try and relieve the pain before I had to move completely.
"Look, they've run off somewhere. I don't know where exactly, but we've seen them snoop about the whole bloody castle. Can't say I didn't enjoy it, though. I'll be keeping that tape of their naked wonder for as long as I can.
Shame the Yank is in the way for most of the shot. It was my turn to look disgusted, as I realized Baxter had seen me in my birthday suit on his little spy cameras. I was proud of my body, and the girls certainly liked it, but it was definitely not something I had wanted to share with the stinky Pete owner. Fuck this guy.
Who knows where they've snuck off to? Should have put more bloody cameras up. Maybe a few more ghosts, too, for good measure. Point is, if we killed him, nobody will ever know, and we get extra supplies.
Betty didn't reply, and I prayed he hadn't started to win her around.
We need as much as we can get, Betty,
the stinky Pete owner said gently.
You've seen what's out there, eh? Those giant monsters popping up all over the country, all over the world, even. There's no escaping them, Betty. And we older folks can't fight them off. If we have to go outside for a supply run, one of those big bastards will gobble us up in one bite.
Oh, don't, Baxter,
the old woman said sadly.
It's true. They appear out of thin air more and more each day. If we get enough to last us, we will never have to step outside again. You can wander the castle till your heart's content, browse the history of it all, and I can set up the projectors for some proper good historical tours and stories.
But we would be killing those poor people,
Betty said quietly.
That's the world we live in now. I don't like it either, but it's a dog-eat-dog world now, and we'll only be safe if we take what we need. I'll make it real quiet. They won't feel a thing or even hear me coming, okay?
I had had enough of the twisted conversation, and my neck was absolutely killing me. I turned to the girls and gestured to their weapons, then pointed upwards. Becca and Haywan nodded in return, and as Baxter launched into another speech about the world, I took the opportunity to whisper as quietly as possible.
Fuck this guy, I hissed.
I paused for a moment to make sure I hadn't been overheard, but Baxter was still droning on about the new world and how he intended to survive.
I say we place this douche under citizen's arrest, I continued, as the girls leaned into a huddle. Take him back to the Stinky Pete, and his people can decide what to do with him.
Betty, too?
Becca asked.
I guess so, I shrugged. She doesn't seem fond of the killing, but she sure as hell is in on his little scheme.
The girls nodded, and I heard the two older people raise their voices as another argument broke out.
I didn't see any weapons. It should be easy. We take Baxter and Betty back to his pub, and we can hopefully grab some of Fareed's food before we get on our way.
I am so done with ghosts,
Becca nodded.
Let's go.
I stood up abruptly, though my neck stung, and jumped out from behind our hiding spot. Becca popped up next to me, and Haywan leapt onto the wooden stage while we all held our guns on the elderly pair in front of us. Betty screamed and threw her hands up in the air, while Baxter just growled as he narrowed his eyes.
There's a little yank. Sneaking around, not able to keep your nose out, eh? Just like your lot. Think you own everything.
You're the one claiming stuff that isn't yours, I replied.
And I'm Korean,
Haywan added.
And also,
Becca piped up,
I would literally rather get torn in half by four raptors than spend a second in your bed. We'll be needing those tapes you have of us, perv.
The blonde stood tall, and she didn't flinch when Baxter spat at her.
Oh, God!
Betty wailed.
What have I done? Why did I get myself tangled up in all this? I'm so sorry, you three.
Are you really? I asked, as I started to slowly step toward the elderly pair. Because to me, it really sounded like you were on board with his plan to murder us. For the sake of a tent and a few granola bars? That's pretty shitty, I have to say.
What's the plan, Yank?
Baxter snorted.
You're gonna gun us down American style? Brainwash these two slags to follow you, eh?
First, I've lived here long enough to know that slag is not the appropriate word for strong women who could kill you in a heartbeat. Second, if I gun you down right now, then I'm no better than you. And trust me, I am definitely more of a man than you. The pub owner scowled at me, and I stepped close enough to smell the stench of his breath. Haywan kept her spot on the stage for a good high ground angle, while Becca stepped closer to Betty. You're coming with us, Baxter. The people back at the pub deserve to know what's going on. They can be your jury and decide what to do with you. How much exactly have you stolen from them? Baxter waved his hand.
Those idiots won't notice a few things here and there. The arsehole cook asks questions from time to time, but he knows better than to go snooping. unlike you nosy bastards."
Betty looked incredibly nervous as she shifted her weight from one foot to another, and her eyes darted between the girls and me.
"I'll go quietly,"
the older woman said sadly.
"I mean it, kids. I didn't want to. I really wouldn't have let him hurt you."
"I take it you weren't there for the disappearing steps, then?" I asked with a raised eyebrow, and Betty dropped her head in shame.
"Pretty high tech for a couple of old folks,"
Becca said.
"How did you manage all of that?"
"What are you calling old, bimbo? And I had a younger team member beforehand. He was a real computer nerd, all mumbly and covered in spots."
"And what happened to him?" I demanded, as I kept my gun aimed straight at the pub owner.
"Something big and scaly bit his fucking head off," Baxter said with a shrug. "He was a wizard with technology, but the kid couldn't run for shit."
"Baxter left him outside,"
Betty said as her pale eyes filled with tears.
"He banged on the door and screamed. Baxter kept saying he didn't know where the key was. Then we heard a scream and a crunch. And a few minutes later, Baxter mysteriously found the key."
"A little geek had given me everything I needed," Baxter scoffed. "Not my problem if he gets munched up by something higher up on the food chain."
"So you got him to set up all those traps?"
Becca said.
"All that ghost projection shit to scare people away from your precious supplies. And then once it was ready, you fed him to a dinosaur?"
"Whoa, princess. I didn't feed him to anything. It was the natural cycle of nature, just like it would have been if I slit your pretty throat and stole your shit. But never mind. I'll always have that recording of you in the nude. You look so pretty, I could forgive you for being a slag."
"Shut your mouth," I spat. "Where the hell are we anyway?"
Just beyond the castle grounds,
Betty said nervously, which confirmed what I had worked out in my head.
"Near the city center."
"And you just sneak down into the castle every day?" I demanded. "Playing with your projector toys to scare off anyone who finds shelter in the castle? You know you could have made that place into a safety zone for everyone, do something to help people, rather than scare them off into a world full of hungry monsters."
"Pfft,"
Baxter snorted again. "How far is the pub from here?" I asked. My stomach rumbled, and the thought of what Fareed might have prepared made me want to speed up the process.
"Not far,"
Betty shrugged.
"A moderate walk, and it's sheltered the whole way, so it's pretty safe."
"Right. So, what we're going to do here is go calmly back to the pub, and then I'll come back to start bringing back all the supplies and food you stole. Fareed is going to have a field day with that stash." Haywan jumped down from the stage and lowered her gun as she walked over to Betty. I guessed the Korean didn't feel the two locals were much of a threat. Even if Baxter was a greasy bastard, he didn't seem to have any decent weaponry on him, and he was pretty out of shape. "So that's the exit?" I asked, as I nodded to where Betty and Baxter had entered from. "That leads to the street?"
"You're not going to take away all my hard work," Baxter grumbled. "That food stash is mine, nobody else's. I worked hard to get it, and like I said, the rules are different nowadays."
"You must have been collecting that food for weeks," I said, "which means it took you no time at all after the portals appeared to become a murderous thief. You're coming with us." I reached out for Baxter's arm, but with a speed I didn't think he had, he grabbed Betty by the shoulders and slammed her into me and the girls. The elderly woman made quite the bowling ball as she knocked into Becca first, which sent the blonde back right into Haywan. Both girls fell to the ground while Betty flailed above them and tried not to join them on the floor. As Baxter tore toward the entrance of the music hall, I pulled out the Webley and aimed at the man's leg, just to graze him and to keep him from disappearing into the streets. But as my finger found the trigger, Betty threw herself at me and knocked the gun out of my hand. It clattered onto the floorboards, and the old woman whacked me straight in the face with a half-slap, half-punch.
"What the hell?"
Becca shouted, as she and Haywan clambered to their feet. We heard the music hall door slam shut, and Betty suddenly sank into one of the chairs. Baxter was nowhere to be seen.
"Damn it!"
I said, as I grabbed my weapon from the floor. I hadn't expected any kind of resistance from the old lady, and she had seemed to be against Baxter just a few minutes before.
"I need those supplies,"
she said.
"Baxter's right. I'm an old lady. What use am I if I have to go searching for food? I'll be dead in seconds."
"Becca, Haywan, make sure she doesn't try any more funny business," I sighed. "We need to catch Baxter before he reaches another hidey hole. Let's go." The girls nodded, and Haywan turned her rifle on the older woman while Becca grabbed one of Betty's arms. When Betty didn't offer any more resistance, we followed Baxter's trail to the door. I swung the door open to reveal a smaller room, which clearly used to be a cafe area for the music hall. There was a large bar, which still had a few bottles that Baxter hadn't polished off yet, and some small fridges with a few cans of soda left.
"Is that gin?"
Becca asked, as we marched through the room toward the exit.
"How is that still there?"
"We aren't much into spirits,"
Betty shrugged.
"Wine and beer were all drained dry pretty quickly when this place went under, though."
"We can have a party,"
Haywan suggested.
"Afterwards, with gin."
"Damn right," I laughed. "Let's catch this idiot, and then we can bring some supplies over to Farid. A well-cooked meal and a little gin sounds like the perfect send-off before we hit the road again." Baxter hadn't bothered to lock the exit, so I pushed the door open and scanned the streets for dinosaurs and fat pub owners. I spotted the castle first and realized we were even further into the city than I had realized. Rain had started to fall while we were in the tunnels, and a chill wind blew in from the river. I checked the streets again and then caught a glimpse of the burly man a little further ahead. I groaned as the round figure ran into a nearby park and disappeared into a massive hedge maze.